Do you want your middle school girl to grow into a strong, confident, and resilient young adult? So do I. The only thing is, middle school's hard for both kids and parents. Welcome to the Raising Middle School Girls podcast. I'm Janice Scholl, and I'm just a regular parent on a mission to uncover the best tips and advice for raising middle school girls. Hey there, parents. Today, I have the pleasure of talking with Pam Luck, founder of Ember and Ace, an athletic wear brand that is focused on plus size kids. For those of you who don't know, talking to mothers who start businesses that solve the problems they and other families face is seriously one of my favorite things to do. And that's certainly Pam's story today. Pam, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
So you created Ember and Ace to give kids access to plus size athletic wear. What led you down this path?
Well, for me, it started a very long time ago when I was a teenager. I have been plus size my whole life. It basically started for me like most kids in that early puberty, like, and just sort of never stopped. So I grew up dancing and playing soccer. And so by the time I got to high school, I was on the soccer team. I was a goalkeeper, and I had to go shop in the men's section to find a goalie shirt and pants that fit me. Cause this is pre-internet shopping, y'all.
Yeah.
We used to have to go into the stores all the time. And so, yeah, it was just tough. Cause I'm like, I love to play soccer. I was good at it. I was good enough to make the team, but it started to get tough to find athletic wear, and the same with dance wear. And so fast forward 30 years, and now I have a teenage daughter who is also in a bigger body and loves to dance. And again, we struggle with athletic wear and dance wear. And I'm like, why is this still a problem?
Yeah.
It's been 30 years. And I will say, for adult plus size, I have a ton more options than I used to. There are a lot of brands that are doing great for adults. But I think when I'm thinking about, you know, kids that are 10, 12, 13, 14 years old, you're not in an adult body, and your body doesn't look like an adult body and isn't shaped like an adult body. And you certainly don't need all that length, the really long inseams or the really long. I mean, I think we've all seen your kid running around in an adult t-shirt and how that fits, right? It's way oversized and it's way too long. So there are brands that are doing better for adults, but for plus size kids, there's still not a lot to be found. And so despite not having a background, you know, in this, I'm like, somebody has to solve this problem, because, you know, for me, being a part of the soccer team was huge for me. Those were the girls that I hung out with. Those are the people that I, you know, called my friends. And I can't tell you how many games we won or, you know, how good we were, but I can remember, you know, hanging out on the bus for the, you know, away games and all the fun we used to have, and you know, the singing and the stories and all that stuff that you get. And I think for me, you get all the bonus of what athletics can do for you, physical and mental health, but having your friends as part of that is a significant piece. And so when you don't fit the uniforms, when you don't fit the clothing and you start to drop out, and that's when these kids start to really sort of pull away and don't have those connections with their friends and classmates anymore. And so that for me is sort of what feels most important, like all the physical and mental health benefits, and you have to like stay with your friend group, right?
Yeah. You know, there's so much of what you just said that I think is important. And we talk as parents how important it is for our kids to find their people. They don't have to be the most popular kid. They don't have to be friends with everybody, but they have to have some connections that are meaningful to them. And sports are a definite way that kids have access to that. And if you feel disconnected for whatever reason from your team, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah. And I think it also sort of, one of the things I want to challenge is this idea that kids in bigger bodies don't like sports and don't like activities. Like they think that magically, you know, you're going to play basketball four times a week and you're just, all this weight is going to drop right off of you. And that's not really how it works. And so I'm also challenging this idea of these kids do like to play sports and they do love soccer or basketball or, you know, all these things. And so it's important to sort of acknowledge and keep them as involved as we can.
Yeah. Physical activity is good for everyone, regardless right. of what our body is shaped like and what size we are. We know that physical activity is important. So promoting that at every size and at every age is helpful for our kids.
Yeah. And I think keeping the joy in movement, right?
Yeah.
Taking away this idea that your body has to get smaller, and if it doesn't get smaller, you're not doing it right, or you can't keep doing it, right?
Yeah.
If you don't fit in the uniform, then I guess you can't play basketball anymore. What a terrible, terrible thing for a kid to experience.
Yeah. And that's, I want to ask you about that, because one of the things I've learned from you is that not finding properly fitting athletic wear can actually be a reason kids quit sports. Can you talk to me about that?
Yeah. I mean, I think, especially when you're talking about younger teens, it's hard to advocate for yourself. And so a lot of times, if you're not really dialed into this, what do you do if the shirt doesn't quite cover your belly and is too short, or the shorts, the largest size shorts they offer is a large? Like, can you imagine a 13 or 14 year old kid going up to the coach and saying, this isn't comfortable. This doesn't fit me. And so part of it is like, these girls will talk about, I didn't want my belly to show through the shirt, or, you know, the shorts were too tight. And it's something that people don't necessarily think about. You know, when you talk about, you just, these are the uniforms and I have, and you might even see it, for example, for like recreational camps in the summer, a lot of times the programs will give away t-shirts. Well, what's the largest size t-shirt you offer? Is it a youth large? So, I mean, first of all, that if that kid's mother doesn't notice and orders the larger size, or doesn't ask if there's a larger size, and that kid shows up and the shirt's a little too tight and it rises up, that kid's going to feel remarkably uncomfortable. And so I've read surveys where they've talked with kids about, they're like, yeah, I just stopped going. I stopped playing.
You know, this is the age where our girls want to fit in so much more. And it's a problem, honestly, I had never thought of before. My middle schooler is not super sporty. So regardless of size, we're just not wearing team uniforms. We're not wearing that type of stuff. But I think about all the other ways that my daughter, who's in middle school, will say no to activities because she's uncomfortable. And this makes perfect sense to me now. I get it, because our middle schoolers do kind of curl back in when they're afraid to put themselves out there, when they're uncomfortable, when they feel like they're different. And this is one more way that girls probably don't want to talk about this particular issue, because let's be honest, many of us adults don't know how to talk about diversity of size. Right. And so we can't expect our kids to have the right language to do it, right?
Right. And I do think, you know, because particularly if you're talking about middle school, this is also when you have bodies developing and that feels awkward and uncomfortable. And girls just sometimes even want a larger size just because they are uncomfortable with the changes, or they're getting used to, yeah, right, the changes in your body. If you were the first one of your girl group to have to wear an actual real bra, right? Like, yep, everybody knows, like, so you sort of trend to this larger size tops anyway a little bit because you're finding a comfort zone. So everybody sizes up. So all of a sudden you don't even have anything that fits. And then all the kids are sizing up anyway because they're feeling uncomfortable. Yeah. So, but yeah, to your point, I think it's a hard conversation because we still struggle about talking about it as adults, for sure.
Yeah. And I want to ask you about some terminology that we can use that's positive and healthy. And I wanted to, like, you know, middle school is complicated for so many reasons, but specifically when it comes to size, we have maybe the most extreme diversity of size in this age range, right? Because mm-hmm. we have that timeline. We each have our own timeline for when we go through puberty. So we have kids who really definitely look more like elementary school kids when they start middle school. And then we have others who look like grown men and women physically. And so, you know, this is an age where I find that parents are trying to talk to their kids about differences, but don't necessarily know how to go about it. And I think that that results in sometimes we avoid talking about it at all because we're afraid we're going to get it wrong.
Yeah.
Can you help us understand some ways that we can talk about the differences in bodies and size in a positive and healthy way.
Sure. I mean, I will say, I'll start by saying I made the decision not to use the word fat as part of my brand. I do refer to myself as fat because I've sort of neutralized and reclaimed that word. It really should just be a neutral descriptor about people that have more fat or less fat. So fat and thin should be words that we just are able to use without carrying all this negative connotation in the things that they currently do. But we're not there. So I use the word plus size a lot for kids. And that's partly because that's where, as adults, some of these kids are going to stay plus size. Some of them are going to outgrow it. I mean, even if you're an adult and you're thin, go back and look at pictures of yourself at 14. You were much rounder and softer pretty much everywhere. So plus size is a term that's used in the industry and for both men and women now. So part of it is just starting to get familiar with that. The other words I use when I talk with kids about body diversity is some kids have bigger bodies, right? And so bigger bodies, you'll hear me use a lot if you're looking for a word to talk about. Some kids have bigger bodies and some aren't. And so as young as possible, please start introducing the idea that two ideas. One, that bodies come in all shapes and sizes. And that's just true. That's true for humans because that's also true for every other species on the planet. Look at dogs, y'all. Okay. They come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. And we don't give the dogs a hard time for being different sizes. Why are we doing that to humans? And that's something you can sort of use with younger kids. But the more you can sort of introduce this idea of body differences and size, and also that bodies change all the time. Your body is going to start changing and never stop changing for basically your entire life. So trying to find ways to talk about that. And I would also say, can you start bringing diverse bodies in through other kinds of media? There's a lot more folks that with visibility now, athletes and actors and singers and people. So you can see people with different bodies being successful, being comfortable. Like, I think part of it is, you know, I can't, you know, be happy and get a good job and be successful and get married and have a family with this body. And all of that's not true.
Yeah. You know, I think what you said about really, it's a flow, right? Some of us will have a plus size body from the beginning until the end, and some of us will flow in and out of it. And having that be the defining thing of who you are at this age is what we don't want to do, right? We want to be in a body who does these other things, who enjoys these other things. That way, whether we grow into or out of a plus size body, that's less important. That's not making us who we are. We can be in our body.
Yes.
Just done. And I think that's really important because the way that we say, if you're a plus size person, this is then the outcome. We're defining the outcome before we're giving the person the opportunity to really create who they are. So I think that that's a great way of looking at it. And I just, we were shopping the other day, and it is so infrequent to actually be in a physical mall anymore, but there were mannequins who were built like real people. And by real people, I mean different sizes. And I was like, that mannequin has thighs that, like, the jeans, I could imagine what they fit like on a real human. And I was like, this is great. This is wonderful. We need to see this more because I'm not in the mall all the time. You know, I want my kids to see differences. And it's not always easy at this age for them to see it.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, I've been reading a lot, and I think there's a great idea that we sort of all need to latch onto. And it's like, let's normalize having clothing in multiple sizes in your closet.
Yeah.
Right. I think let's just normalize the idea that bodies change and grow. And a lot of places where if you get a really hard winter, the likelihood is your activity level is going to drop at some point, and you're going to have, there's a ton of great festivities that happen at that time of the year and you want to enjoy, and maybe you're going to go up a pant size. But spring arrives, right? And things kind of thing ebb and flow, but let's normalize having a couple different sizes in your closet. And that can start as young as when you're buying maybe back to school uniforms. If you need to get, you know, get the pants in two sizes and don't make a big deal out of it. And so things ebb and flow. Your body is sort of going to be constantly moving, and it doesn't have to mean anything other than bodies change all the time.
Yeah.
And let's not turn it into something that's sort of more than that.
The term plus size kid, I like, because there's really no emotion associated mm-hmm. with the word. It's just defining something that is it, you know, there are small kids and there are plus size kids. We have a variety of shapes and sizes. And so that I think feels less intense. And when you're shopping and trying to find something, it's not as simple as just getting the large or the extra large.
Yeah.
So to your point, you can't just go up to adult sizes. These kids don't necessarily have that option. They are physically not built like adults yet. They are built right. like kids or teens, you know, and you're embracing the fact that our kids are kids. We're not trying to push them into something that they're not yet as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to ask you a question about your experience in middle school in general and on your teams. Mm-hmm. You said that you danced and you did soccer. So did you feel different with your teammates? And what did that look or sound like? And then what was it like being plus size in general in middle school?
All three of those experiences are a little bit different. I'll start with dance because that's the toughest one, I'll be honest. It was crystal clear that I was different and my body was not a good body in terms of when you think about the dance world. And so I've been ignored a lot. Like, not even anyone considering that I'm serious about improving, right, my technique and getting better at it. I had no illusions about what I was going to do with dance, but the idea is I want to do it well, right? I want to do ballet or tap as well as the other kids in my class. And so I got ignored because, you know, it's sort of this writing off of what are you ever going to do? And so dance was tougher, and I did end up leaving dance before I graduated. And I ended up going back to dance in college. I joined an African dance ensemble, which was a style of dance that my body wasn't a hindrance for or wasn't seen as less than. And so I was able to sort of reclaim my love of dance. But I played soccer through high school. And I mean, I think thankfully my team members were great, because the bonding that happens, it's because I showed up every day like they did, and I did the same drills that they did, and we played the same games, and we attended the same practices. And so we were all in that together. And so they didn't necessarily see me as different per se. I mean, and they were sort of on the edges of my uniform challenges. So that's the thing that felt hard and I was kind of didn't talk about. I think that's what ends up happening, is you don't talk about it. And then in general, in terms of my experience, I think I have the same challenges that a lot of kids do. There's always a brand or a style of something that's very cool that they don't make in your size. And so you always feel like you can't participate. Like, I'm going to date myself terribly, but there used to be these like Coca-Cola polo shirts that were a big deal when I was in high school. They were like a rugby style shirt. And of course, it didn't fit me. And everybody was wearing them. And so it's those moments where you definitely sort of feel like you just, at that age, you just want to be like everybody else, right? Which, yeah. Please don't try to be like everybody else. But I know the urge. I understand. Yeah. The urge. Yeah. I mean, and there are, of course, trends that I was able to take part in. Neon was huge, so that was easier. And then the flash dance sweatshirts with a cutout neck. Thank you very much, 80s. So there were things I could, you know, participate in, but there was always one or two that I couldn't. So, I mean, there's tough moments for sure.
Yeah. And what you're highlighting is that even when it's not the language of our peers, even when it's not that, it can still be really hard. It can still be a little bit alienating to feel like you don't have access to the same options as other kids. Yeah. But what I love that you said was your teammates, if you showed up that's what they were basing their relationship with you on. That's what they viewed you as a teammate. You know, like she shows up, she does the work, she's participating, she's part of the team. It's this, the size and how your uniform fit you was affecting you, but it did not affect how your teammates perceived you as part of the team. And that's amazing and wonderful, because that's what we want our kids to recognize, that you can be anything you want if you show up and if you put in the work, regardless of what your size is.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm doing sprints too, y'all. Okay. We're all doing the sprints. we're all getting up real early in the summer to try and get a practice in before it gets too hot.
Exactly. Exactly. And yeah, before it gets too hot, soccer is hot here. Oh, I used to be, a million years ago, I was a dancer. And I want to also normalize that most kids, regardless of how good they are at a sport, are probably not going to play after a certain age. Can we normalize that? Because we are all treating kids' sports as if they're all going pro. And this is something that I personally struggle with, because it takes the joy out of the sport for our kids. It causes us to let some kids be ignored, when really we all say that we want our kids to play sports for the friendships, for the commitments that they make, for the hard work that they learn. But we act like we just really want them to be good.
Right.
And we need to reinvest in the real benefits of kids' sports, rather than just, I want my kid to get a scholarship and I want my kid to be the best.
Right. And there's some people doing some really interesting work in this space, and that are, when you ask kids what they want from team athletics, the answers are they want psychological safety, right? Yeah. They want to learn skills and get better at the game. And they want to be challenged to improve, but they want to have fun. They want there to keep the joy in what they do. And I really think we need to take a really hard look at how we're treating athletics and sports, particularly when it comes to kids, and being crystal clear about maybe realigning the goals a bit, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You know, I want to talk about something else, because teens are not necessarily known for being the most health conscious bunch when it comes to their diet. And health choices and size are really complicated, because what you've talked about is the fact that we come in different shapes and sizes, regardless of our activity level and regardless of some of the choices that we make. But yet, all parents want their kids to be healthy. And mm-hmm. so, you know, can you talk to me about how you view the role of parents, and maybe how you talk with your daughter and other kids about making healthy choices that don't make it feel like a size discussion? That's, I think, what we really want to do, right?
Right. And I think, for starters, it has to honestly not be a size discussion, because I think kids will, you know, kids, they will call you out if you're coming at them with a sort of, I don't want to say dishonest, but that's the word that popped into my head. They know if you and yourself are still invested in diet culture, if you yourself talk about the size of your body negatively, if you talk about the size of other people's bodies negatively, they have heard it, they have seen it. And now you're saying all bodies are, you know, good bodies. And, you know, it's just, you have to really do some self check-ins and get curious about how you've approached this yourself, about how you talk about your own body, for starters. And then I think, for me, the way that my husband and I have sort of approached this is we're following an intuitive eating approach to how we talk about food. And we like a variety of things, but nothing is off limits. And part of it is, I also trying to get teenagers, I mean, it's an effort, but to make a connection between, when you feel yucky, well, what did you eat yesterday? If all you ate yesterday was a bag of potato chips and, you know, whatever, you didn't eat anything else, well, that's not feeling your body in a way that's working for you. So I think it's partly just getting curious about how are the choices that you're making, how do you feel about it? How does your body actually feel? And that can go to hydration and sleep and the amount of food that you eat and the variety of food that you're eating. Foods themselves are not necessarily good and bad. You just, we use them in a variety of ways. And food is not just for fuel. It's also for celebration. Like birthdays are great and we're going to have cake. So yay. So it's really about, well, you didn't eat much yesterday. You didn't drink much water yesterday. And now you feel terrible and you have a headache. Okay. Well, let's try to connect the dots a little bit on that decision-making and maybe make a different choice. And so a lot of it's, I try to just say, how are you feeling physically?
Yeah.
And because that's, as an adult, I have to do that myself, right? I can't just run on caffeine and then wonder why I have a headache at 11.
and yet we try. And yet we try. and our kids see it. Like you said it. Somebody had said, you know, teens are like the best hypocrisy detectors ever. They really are.
Snap.
So they really are. They can call us out. And it's like they notice stuff that nobody else picks up. And so like if we are doing that to ourselves, because let's be honest, I mean, how many moms have too much on their plate and we're trying to cram it all in and we might not be treating our bodies the best. And then we're turning around and telling our kids to do a better job than we're doing. And often we're justifying the decisions we're making because we're doing it for our kids, right? We're chasing them all over town. We're trying to do all the things. We're giving them everything at our own expense. So yeah, I mean, I hear you. And if you don't feel good, drink some water. It's the answer. Drink water. The answer to virtually everything is have a glass of water.
You know, somebody boiled it down once and it stuck with me. They're like, if you hate everyone, you probably need to eat something. And if you think everyone if you think everyone hates you, you probably need to get some sleep.
I'm going to keep that. I'm totally going to keep that.
It's so simple and it's so accurate.
Yeah. It's 100% true. Hangry is a term for a reason, people. Hangry is a real thing.
Oh my gosh. It's true. Yeah. And so I feel like a lot of it is just trying to connect the dots there and say, look, and I'm not saying, like I said, we don't keep anything off limits, but it's really just, you got to tune in.
Yeah.
And I think I was thinking about what you just said about, you know, I'm terrible like most moms about putting my kids' needs ahead of my own. And I've tried to, especially as my daughter's gotten older, really be mindful of doing a better job because it's not something I want to model for her. It's not something I want her to think is okay to do, that this is what moms should do. And I really am trying to pay attention to that a little bit better. Because I'm just as guilty as most folks about always putting my needs at the bottom of the pile.
Yeah. I had an epiphany one day and like I do a lot of things wrong every day, but one day it was like a particularly stressful day and it just clicked and like into my head popped, is this the life I want my daughter to lead? Like, do I want her standing in my shoes right now doing this? And I was like, no, I don't want her to be this stressed out. I don't want her to be this overtired and overworked. And I want her to, and I'm like, that's it. We cannot tell them. We have to show them, which is incredibly hard. It is so, so hard. We use a term, we have some health stuff that we deal with in our family. And so like we use the phrase, listen to your body a lot. Mm. And we promote and celebrate when somebody listens to their body and takes a break, knowing when you're getting sick and taking care of yourself, going to bed early. Like that's a big deal for us. And we're talking about plus size kids. And I feel like, you know, what we do is we look, right? We look for evidence, but what we need to be doing is listening. Like, let's look less at our physical outside and let's listen more to what our internal dialogue and what we're recognizing the signs our body is giving us are doing.
Yeah, for sure. And I think one thing I want to say is we all on a regular basis barely feel like we know what we're doing. And we all make mistakes. And I think part of that is being honest with your kids and being like, look, I'm learning too. And, you know, I'm not always going to get it right. And to try and call out something that maybe you want to handle differently going forward, right? It doesn't have to be the idea is to continue to learn and grow and do better. And yeah. So you can do that and model it and talk about it. Don't be afraid to sort of make mistakes. And even sometimes when I'm having a hard conversation with my daughter about bodies or anything, it's, I'm probably not going to get this all right, but I'm going to try, and we're going to try and figure this out together. And sort of this idea that I certainly don't have all the answers, and I'm trying to make sure I'm not putting that pressure on myself. And also just saying like, look, I learned things too, just like you. And so I want to take what I learned, and now we're going to look at things a different way or do things a different way. And so Be okay with that.
Yep.
Right. Maybe you are big on losing weight, but you can change that too, right? You can focus on mental health and all the physical benefits that come from movement and how you eat, but the weight on the scale may never change. And so it's okay to say, I'm sort of learning and growing in how I think about stuff. So,
and we can guarantee we're all getting things wrong. I think to your point, like we're all making mistakes in parenting, in life, in what, like, we're just not getting it right all the time. And our kids, despite us trying, will not get everything right. So the absolute best thing we can do is teach them that, like, regardless of the choice you made yesterday, you have an opportunity today, just like we do.
Yep.
Well, I want to give people the opportunity to find Ember and Ace products. Can you tell us how people shop with Ember and Ace and where we can find you online?
Yes. The best option is to head to the Ember and Ace website, and it's the word Ember and Ace. And everybody's like, what's that about? Just really quickly, it's a play on the word embrace. So that's where it came from. But you can head to emberandace.com and shop with us there and give us a follow on Instagram, and we'll give you updates on fun new things.
Yay. Thank you so much. It was great talking with you, Pam. Thank you for listening to the Raising Middle School Girls podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more conversations with experts designed to help you support your middle school girl, please hit subscribe. You can also sign up for the newsletter at the link in the show notes to receive emails about tips and resources, upcoming events, and new podcast episodes, all designed to support you and your child.